Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. Because there are lots of toxic chemicals around in consumer products that we use every day, in the air we breathe, in the food that we eat. Just walking out the front door, you'll encounter a lot of toxic chemicals. And many people have toxic chemicals in their homes because of consumer products. Unless you've done something to remove the toxic chemicals and use toxic-free products, natural products, organic products, unless you're doing that, you're being exposed to toxic chemicals. So here on this show, we talk about how you can live without toxic chemicals and be healthy, happy, productive, and do whatever you want to do in life because toxic chemicals aren't making you sick. Today, we're going to be talking about how you can make your own herbal body care products. Now, there are many wonderful organic products on the market that you can use for your body, but there are benefits to making your own. And our guest today is Dina Falcone, the author of Earthly Bodies and Heavenly Hair, Natural and Healthy Personal Care for Everybody. Hi, Dina. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me today on your show. Thanks, Deborah.
You're welcome. So I want to hear all about your story, about how you got to be interested in making your own products, and also particularly tell us about your life, how you live. I know you live on a farm in upstate New York, and you make body care products. And when I first met you a couple of years ago, I asked you if I could give you a link to your body care products on Deborah's list, and you said no, because you only sell them locally with paper catalogs and telephones and no website. So tell us, I think this is wonderful myself. I think we all should be living very locally. I have no complaint about what you're doing. So tell us what your life is like and how you came to live that way in a world where that's not generally what people are oriented to.
Sure. Let's see. Well, this journey toward not making one's own natural body care and came out of the desire to not put anything toxic on my body. Actually, as a young girl in my preteen years, I was very interested in holistic health and eating as a way of maintaining our health. And so I started clearing out all of the junk food and all the toxic foods. And along with that came this part of the journey in making natural body care. Can you hear me, Deborah, by the way?
I can hear you. Yes, I can.
I keep hearing beeps. Is that okay?
That's okay. I can't hear any beeps on this end. So.
Okay, great. Something happens here. Let me just see.
In fact, I can hear you perfectly. You sound very clear.
I'm worried that so the journey began back then, and I'm all about that, you know, that idea of using in the body and outside, you know, externally, all the things that nourish us and take care of us, and basically avoiding the toxic elements in life as much as possible. I mean, you know, we live in a toxic world, just like you said, but I try not to think about it that way.
I want to hear your story, but I want to ask you right now a personal question, and you can answer it or not answer it. But why do you think it is that some people like you and I, we have this desire to do the things that are healthy, and other people don't seem to care about it at all?
That's a really good question, and I am going to answer that in 1 second, because I think that this extension is clicking and telling me the battery is dying. Hold on.
Okay. Let's see, what can I say so we don't have dead air? I love herbal products. I use a lot of them, and later on coming up, after a couple of breaks, Dina is going to be telling us how to make some of our own products at home just with using things that we have in our kitchens. And one of the things that she's going to tell us about is a basic honey mask for, let me finish my sentence, we'll come back to you.
Sure,
she's going to tell us about a basic honey mask that that you can make with the honey that you probably have in your kitchen. And I'm very excited about this because the best cleanser I ever had for my skin was made in a base of honey. It's no longer available, but I wish it was. It just made my honey, my skin look so beautiful. So I'm looking forward to seeing how I can make my own honey face mask. So go on with your answer, Dina.
Yeah, so I think, well, I was thinking about that earlier because I get asked this question a lot, you know, how did I end up doing this? How did my life end up this way? And my son's 26th birthday was on the 23rd of August, and he had a bunch of friends up. He lives in New York City now. And so this discussion came up about how did I become who I am, whatever that means. And so I answered the question that at a very young age, I made these decisions, like at age 11, to really become health-focused. And I didn't think that was so odd until, you know, this crew of guys looked back at me like, well, that's weird. Like, why?
Well, I don't think it's weird, but I think it's very unusual. I think it's very unusual because in the world we live in today, to be health-focused is not the norm.
Yeah, exactly. So for some reason, whatever the stars perhaps had to say or my own journey, it felt like just the commitment that I made at that very young age. And it did come, you know, there was, when I was younger, there were headaches that I was getting, and they weren't all the time or anything, but they were memorable, and it was something that I didn't like. And I feel they definitely contributed to motivating me to take charge of my health, to, you know, and there was an elderly, well, he wasn't so old then. He would be about maybe 95 now, but he passed away. Anyway, he lived in the neighborhood, and he was into health foods. He had cured himself of a terminal illness, and he was my first mentor, my early mentor. He was basically just a sort of the benevolent neighborhood friend, and he really was an amazing, but not knowing that he was until much later that I reflected back, he was my early mentor for navigating through, like, okay, well, maybe you want to just stop chewing the bubble yum and, you know, stop eating the Snickers and, you know, use whole foods and shift away from processed foods. And he really mentored me, so without calling it mentorship, you know, that's what.
Yes.
So he was the influence to a large degree, and that was at age 11 that I had just made this commitment to live, you know, healthy, whatever, a healthier, focused life, I guess, you know, in search of health. Yeah.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so then what happened after that? How did you come to live on a farm instead of living in a city?
I was raised in the East Village in New York City, and I went to college in the country, and I knew by the time I was 16 that I didn't want to live in New York City because of my, I feel like my, as an organism living, you know, as a person breathing and smelling and being sensitive to the elements around me, I could see that the city didn't feed me. So it was pretty clear early on at that, you know, but then when I went to college, I decided, even though I love New York City, I could feel that the pollution, just the smells alone, the air quality was just, it didn't feel good. So it was like, you know, and then when I had my son, Sam, I did not want to be in New York City. I just felt really clearly about birthing him out of the city. It didn't feel right. I had a home birth. And so I, you know, rented a cabin up here, where right near where we live, not in the, we don't live in the same cabin, but that 26 years ago. And I think probably becoming a mother really confirmed that. I was also into making sculpture and painting at the time, and I stopped doing that because of the toxic components at that point, because I was welding and I was using oil paints. And so becoming a mother had a lot, I think it refocused even more intensely the vision of health and care, because you're raising a, you know, a new being.
Good. Well, we need to take a break now, but we'll be back. And we're talking today with Dina Falcone, the author of Earthly Bodies and Heavenly Hair, Natural and Healthy Personal Care for Everybody. And she's going to be telling us how we can make some herbal things at home to take care of our bodies. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Dina Falcone, the author of Earthly Bodies and Heavenly Hair. And if you're interested in getting this book, I would suggest you can just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and go. There's a menu bar across the top, and one says books, and that's Deborah's bookstore. And I've been recommending this book on Deborah's bookstore for a couple of years now. And you can just go there and search for it and find it. And that's one way to order it. I would send you to Dina's website, but she doesn't have one, which I love. Okay, so Dina, one of the reasons why I'm really, really, really in favor of what you're talking about and helping people do is because my philosophy is do everything as close to nature as possible. Mm. And so just as the ideal food would be food that you're growing in your own backyard or on your farm in your case, that you could just go outside and eat it, pull an apple off a tree or pick the carrot out of the ground. The most healthful, nourishing, alive thing that you can do for your skin and your body is to be using these live plants as close to them being live as possible. And yeah. I hear you sounding pleased. Do you want to say something about that?
Sure. Well, you make me think of that the food that we eat is actually what makes our skin and hair the most beautiful, so that what goes in our bodies is what's going to reflect outwardly. And so hair care and skin care should be pretty minimal, in fact, if we are healthy. So in some ways, less is better with personal care products, because if we're healthy, we're going to have beautiful skin and we're going to have healthy hair. It reminds me too of the need to question how much we really need in terms of self-care. Like as a teen girl, we're marketed to a lot about, you know, what mm-hmm. we need to be beautiful and healthy or have beautiful skin and hair. And often those products are really toxic and they're about sales. And so really your idea about eating the most healthful foods actually is right on, and it has everything to do with, you know, who we are emotionally, psychically, but also physically, and what appearance we offer the world. So I would say that it's different with skincare. I mean, with skincare, we're using things like olive oil, which is incredibly beautiful for the skin, and that's something that we can't pluck off the tree necessarily, but we can find
well,
the best
no,
quality.
I understand, but it's very close. Yeah. I mean, the difference between olive oil that is one step away from being an olive
exactly.
and something sure. that is industrial and you have to dig up out of the ground and pollute the environment in order to make it is very, very different.
Absolutely.
Very different. There's, I would say, there's degrees of wonderfulness. And
exactly.
the closest thing would be to be using the thing right out of nature, like honey. I think we're going to be talking about honey later. Mm-hmm. And honey is something that, I mean, I'm coming to realize that a lot of people don't have direct experiences with nature. So not mm-hmm. everybody has had the experience that I've had of actually having, in the house that I live in right now, I have a tree outside that had a hole in it, and there's a natural beehive that if I wanted to, I could reach into this tree and pull out honey and put it on my face. And
careful of those bees, yes.
No, I know. I'm not going to do that. I'm just leaving them alone, and I'm very happy to loan them my tree. I'm not
but
even
I
eating
love,
the honey
yes.
or anything.
I love but your image, though, yes.
But that's the
exactly.
idea.
Exactly. The idea is it is what feeds my soul, that image, you know.
Me too.
Direct
Me
connection
too, exactly.
to nature.
I was talking to somebody, a company, I'm going to have them on as a guest in the future, but I just want to say this one thing because you were talking about your skin and your hair being beautiful because of what you eat. I totally agree with that. And I was talking to this company that makes shampoo product, or let me call it a hair care product. Mm. They were explaining to me that most shampoos, even organic shampoos, contain ingredients that strip the hair. Mm. And then you have to use all these products to unstrip your hair, you know? Mm-hmm. And that
Absolutely.
If you just didn't strip your hair in the first place, you wouldn't need all those products.
That's right.
And that the point of this particular product, and I'm sure some of your hair care as well, is to have your hair be clean, but not be removing all the nourishing oils that mm-hmm. our scalp produces
exactly.
naturally. And that's
right.
a difference between being according to nature and being industrial.
Right, actually.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, that's the shift that I think we all need to be making.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it has the book Earthly Bodies and Heavenly Hair is a lot about having that vision, that shift of view. So people look at themselves differently and have more of a reflective nature around what they really need for their personal care products. And hair is an example of something we've been taught to strip and then condition and strip and condition and then destroy our hair. And in the book, there's a lot of discussion around not actually using shampoo at all.
Yes.
Later, we'll go into a very simple product that someone could make that helps clean and condition at the same time. It's a different approach. and it's my approach now. I have to confess, since writing, you know, it's probably 20 years that I haven't actually used shampoo, except for in testing the herbal shampoos in Earthly Bodies in the book. But you're absolutely right. The idea is to look at what the body needs and work with the body rather than being told what we're supposed to do. Kind of,
yes.
It's the questioning. It's a questioning style of living. You know, it has more to
yeah.
do with curiosity. You know,
I found that in my own journey where in looking to see how do I live in harmony with nature or according to nature or as nature, it's about me and my individuality being aligned with nature as it is in the place where I live. It's not mm-hmm. something that can be put in a package. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break again, and when we come back, we'll talk more with my guest, Nina Falcone, author of Earthly Bodies and Heavenly Hair. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Nina Falcone, the author of Earthly Bodies and Heavenly Hair, Natural and Healthy Personal Care for Everybody. Nina, I was just thinking during the break that it's interesting to me that talking with you today, usually sometime during the show, I talk about and have my guests talk about what are the toxic chemicals in the type of product that we're talking about, in this case, personal care products. Usually there's a part where we talk about the toxic chemicals in those products that we want to be eliminating from our lives. And today, I don't even feel like talking about that. Because I feel like that you and I are sitting here in a world where we're talking about something that is just so completely separate from toxic chemicals that it's not even about talking about them. It's not about choosing a different consumer product instead of the toxic one. It's about making a shift in how we think and how we live. And mm-hmm. I so appreciate that. I just wanted to tell you that because I had to smile that it wasn't even mm-hmm. about toxic chemicals anymore. It was about just being in a different place.
Exactly. Definitely.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's a lot about feeling empowered, connected, connecting to things that are nourishing to, you know, it's a very, yeah, exactly. It's a mindset shift.
It is.
It's a lovely
thing, yeah.
Yeah.
It is lovely. Lovely is the word. So let's talk about some things that our listeners can do to start making some things that will help their bodies heal and look beautiful. Again, I want to just repeat what you said earlier, that the key to beautiful hair and beautiful skin is healthy eating and having a healthy body, and that skincare and hair care should be minimal. And with that in mind, tell us, I want you to start with the honey mask.
Sure. Well, let's also just think about the idea of cleansing and how much we really need. So often there's lots and lots of products on the market that are about cleaning and cleansing, and over-cleaning the skin and the hair will destroy it. We naturally produce cream, sebum, that protects our skin and keeps it healthy and beautiful. So the more that we strip that, the more damaged our skin can become. Of course, this is, I'm speaking in broad strokes, because some people might need to use more cleansers than others, but in general, most people clean too much and destroy their skin that way. So that's the first thing, just to consider how much cleansing we really need. And then when you do choose cleaning, when you feel that you need to do something to clean, then that product should work gently with your skin or your hair, so that it's actually not destroying it, but healing it or encouraging it. And honey is one of those substances that works beautifully for cleaning the face while also softening, moistening it. So it's the opposite of soap, like a traditionally produced soap that strips everything that your skin has been working so hard to make for your health. Honey works. It's got nice antimicrobial activity while also helping to keep it moist and soft, and it's almost like a moisturizing treatment as it helps clean. You know, it has that. So honey pat is, you know, it's called a honey pat. People might know that term. In the book, it's called the basic honey mask, and you just need maybe a teaspoon, a little scoop, maybe a teaspoon's worth of some good quality raw honey, and you apply. Make sure, by the way, that you completely pull your hair away from your face, or you're going to have a lot of a sticky mess. So you want to make sure that everything is pulled back nice and tightly, and then you apply this honey just simply on your fingertips, and then massaging it into your face, you know, around the area of your nose, your chin, wherever you feel that you have a little more pore cleaning that's needed. And so you're just applying this honey. And I actually work with clients a bit with skincare issues, and often they have acne or they have something wrong, and they're using all these products, and I say, okay, let's stop the use of everything. And if you feel you need to clean beyond maybe a rinse of cold water, we go to honey. And sometimes, mostly, I mean, it's an amazing thing just to wean ourselves from the products, come back to just water, possibly honey, and skin, a lot of skin things resolve. You know, it's kind of amazing. So this honey,
I think that's true, because a lot of skin things, number one, can be caused by the toxic products, but also number two, the skin is one of the ways that the body releases toxic chemicals. And if you have skin problems, skin eruptions, it's because the body is trying to release toxic stuff, either toxic chemicals or toxin wastes in your body that are not going through properly. That's an indicator that there's something wrong in your body. So just doing those gentle kinds of things, I think, are exactly the right thing. It's like, you know, when you're coughing, you're coughing because your body wants to get rid of something. If you take a cough drop or a cough syrup and suppress that cough, then you're slowing down the process that your body wants to do. It's so we should encourage our bodies to be purifying rather than doing things to stop it.
To repress it, right. And also, just to highlight one of the things you just said, and for folks to realize that the products that they are using can often cause the issues that they're having.
Right.
And that's something. So even if you don't have a lot of toxins to process through the skin, but some product that you're using topically keeps destroying the integrity of your skin, it's not healthy. So just to remove topical applications, just, you know, as a starter point, is like, what are you putting on, and can we maybe reduce or remove it? And then see where the skin is on its own, find its balance. And then support it then with natural products. Like the honey pat is one example. And we can add to that honey mask, if people are tolerant of pure essential oils, some people aren't, but a lot of people can benefit from them. And it's one drop of lavender or one drop of sage or rosemary, depending on the skin type and what they're working on, can increase the cleansing action. So if somebody's dealing with a lot of bacterial activity on their face, they can gently clean with the honey, and they can augment the cleansing action with one drop of lavender. To that
that piece. Just sounds so lovely. I just...
It is lovely.
I just feel like tonight I think I'm going to do that. I'm just going to take, I have some lavender essential oil. I have some honey. I'm just going to pull my hair back and give my face a treat. That sounds wonderful. We need to take another break now, but when we come back, we'll have more things that we can do. Oh, that just was so delicious. My guest today is Dina Falcone. She's the author of Earthly Bodies and Heavenly Hair, Natural and Healthy Personal Care for Everybody. I'm Deborah Lynn Dad, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dad, and we're here today with Dina Falcone, and she is the author of Earthly Bodies and Heavenly Hair, Natural and Healthy Personal Care for Everyone. And this is our last segment together. Wow, the time goes by so fast. As long as we've been talking about skin and hair, Dina, would you tell us about what we can do with rosemary oil to make our hair better?
Sure. So rosemary olive hair oil, it's a recipe out of the book. It's very simple to make. It's 1 ounce of cold-pressed olive oil and 30 drops of pure rosemary essential oil, and they're combined, and it's a wonderful scalp and hair treatment that helps to cleanse the scalp, disinfect, kind of defunk, deal with dandruff, and also moisturize the hair. So it's my treatment for a shampoo / conditioning. Rather than using shampoo, I'll use the rosemary hair oil or the sage pomade, chamomile pomade. These are more complicated versions of a similar nature. So the rosemary hair oil is something you would apply very, very lightly on your fingertips and then massage it in and move it through your hair. And you could wash it out, but I suggest that you don't.
And now, that sounds counterintuitive to me.
Yeah.
Being somebody who has had oily hair in the past, I don't currently have really oily hair, but my hair used to be so oily that I had to wash it every day.
Exactly.
And I think that's where I got, why I like the shampoo that strips it so much, is because
right.
I wanted my hair to not feel oily.
Right. Well, the thing with the stripping, don't forget, is the reason you're producing a lot of oil is your hair, our hair needs oil for it to be healthy. And when you strip it of its oils, you damage it. And so it becomes very brittle, and it becomes more the split ends. And it's just the hair becomes damaged by stripping it of its naturally occurring oils. As a culture, we think, oh, we should have no oil in our hair. In fact, why our bodies produce oil is because that's what protects our hair. So it's also a shift in aesthetics, you know, not that you want to look like a wet, damp rag, but that you shouldn't look like squeaky hair. Your hair should look luscious and full, and it will have some oil to it. Why, if you're really using a lot of shampoo, your body will continue to produce more oil, and then it will be oily the next day. So part of the routine is to stop shampoo. Say that again?
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. So stop shampooing and for a little while see where your body levels itself out. And then the treatments like the rosemary hair oil become, at least for my hair type and for many, many people that I've worked with over the years, and lots of customers will use these hair emollients, they're called. And it's this combination of cleansing and conditioning, not stripping. So you're cleansing with botanicals, and then you're conditioning with the natural oils like olive, jojoba, shea, this kind of thing. And it's a mind shift. It's like, what do you mean? Like, you can't tell me to stop shampooing and I'm not putting oil in my hair.
I know, it is a mind shift. It is a mind shift, but this just shows to me how far away from nature we are as a culture, and how far away we are from understanding our own bodies and what the processes are in our bodies. When I first started many years ago, in 1987, in fact, I took a look around and I said, wait a minute, everything that my life is based on is wrong, because my life was based on all the industrial assumptions. And I looked around and I said, well, where is life happening successfully? And I looked at nature and I said, wow, trees grow, butterflies fly. There must be something going on in nature that's right about life. And I had this big shift where I started seeing myself as being an organism of nature instead of being an industrial consumer. Yet, still, all these many years later, 26 years later, I am still learning how nature works. And I'm still removing in chunks ideas from our industrial culture. But I know without a doubt that if I want to be healthy, if I want my body to be healthy, if I want us to have a functioning world to live in, that we need to be understanding these things. We all should know. Every girl in school should know how to take care of her hair and skin according to nature. And what a different world that would be.
Absolutely. Sounds wonderful.
Well, I think step by step, people like me and you are getting there. But I think that go ahead.
We're always learning. We're always learning. And so this is part of being in a culture that has lost its traditions. And so we're relearning what makes sense. And that's the future, is being curious and inquisitive and asking questions and moving forward. Like you just said, you've been doing this since 1987, and so much more keeps coming. And I think that is a wonderful thing, and that's life, you know.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm trying to really pass on what I know and document what I've learned, so that everybody doesn't have to start at square one.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's just, I think that there's two paths. I think that we can continue our toxic industrial ways, and there won't be a planet anymore. All the beautiful different species that are coexisting on this planet will all be gone, as well as humans. And, you know, the whole life support that is all interactive and interconnected, it's all going to be gone if we keep doing what we're doing. And on the other hand, there's this other path where we can relearn, or maybe even be learning for the first time, how to live what I would probably call a cooperative life, of understanding what other species and other people and what life as a whole needs in order to survive. And then doing those things, how do we do those things, and how do we make this shift from the life that we're accustomed to the life that we should be having? I know that every shift that I've made has been more pleasurable, more enjoyable, more life-enhancing, has made me happy. I know it's the right direction to go, but I remember when I first started having these thoughts in 1987, I thought, oh, well, I could just go buy a sustainable product instead of a toxic, you know, like I did that I could say, I can identify the toxic chemicals, because this was, I started being aware of toxic chemicals and the need to eliminate them from my life in 1978. And so I had already had almost 10 years of swapping out my toxic products for non-toxic ones. And then I got to this and I said, okay, well, I'll just do the same process, except I'll consider nature. But you can't. It's like, how are you going to stop, you know, drinking tap water or something? We weren't talking about rain barrels back in 1987.
And one thing just to add to what you're saying is the act of empowering ourselves to be creative and to make the things that we need, or to grow them, or to learn about them, and become proactive and creative rather than consumers. So like the swapping out that you were just saying, non-toxic for toxic, well, actually it's even deeper than that if we can become empowered to do, to make the things that we need or for friends to make it for us, to change that paradigm so it isn't just swapping out bad for good, but actually a mind shift in being co-creators, like you were saying, and cooperative on this planet.
I totally agree with what you're saying. That is where I'm going personally, is how can I get even past non-toxic? Because to me, non-toxic means still choosing a consumer product that's a less toxic version of a toxic consumer product. But then there's this whole shift that you and I are talking about today, which is just like leaping out of that entirely. And there's a lot of people who are doing that in a lot of ways now. So it's not as impossible. It doesn't seem as impossible to me as it did in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's not impossible at all. Not impossible at all. I mean, in fact,
it's just a matter of learning it and choosing it.
That's right. And
deciding to have that life.
And the Earthly Bodies book came out of that desire to share and empower, so that it was, hey, you can make this stuff yourself, because you know what, I've been doing it since I was 16, and this is so easy, and it's exciting and fun, like you said, it's more pleasurable and enjoyable to engage in the making of these things, not only in the swapping one for the other, but like it's a whole lovely, fun world that opens up.
It's like the difference between, you know, eating processed foods and then deciding to learn how to cook. And then you get to have the creative, sensual pleasure of preparing the food yourself. And here you get to have that same, it's very much like cooking, I think. And getting exactly what's needed for you. We're almost to the end of our time, so I just want to say that Dina has another book called Foraging and Feasting, a Field Guide and Wild Food Cookbook, and she's going to be coming back to talk about that very soon. I'm Deborah Lindblad. You've been listening to Talk Cookbook.